Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and welcome to this very, very special live audiobook reading of my book, Rehane, A Beautiful Fragrance. Today, we're beginning Chapter 10, The Prison Letters. Shortly after Nowruz, the Persian New Year in April 2011, Rehane had to say a tearful goodbye to all of her cellmates in Evin prison. She had been there for almost 3.5 years and had forged strong relationships with women, many of whom had ended up being executed. Shahr-e-Rey prison was to be her new home, and Rehane became very apprehensive of going to, quote, hell on earth, as it had been appropriately nicknamed. She had heard many, many horror stories about guards torturing and raping women at Shahr-e-Rey. Shahr-e-Rey prison was located in the city of Rey at the intersection of Gorachak Road, 35 miles northeast of Tehran. The inmates of Shahr-e-Rey were mainly women who had been arrested for drug use and murder. Many of them suffered from severe mental health conditions and were never given any medical treatment. Shahr-e-Rey seemed more like a mass grave for women who were trapped in hell on earth without any help. Arriving at her new home for another coffin-like existence, Rehane was determined to be a survivor, to live free, even in captivity. The agonizing feeling of being on death row, of waiting every day to die at the noose, had tormented Rehane for far too long. It was here at Shahr-e-Rey that the Kurdish spirit within her rose up in courage to let her voice be heard. The world of the internet would now become her best friend, her voice to thousands of people who needed to hear her version of the crime that had been unjustly silenced in the court. With pen and paper in hand, Rehane sat quietly in her crowded prison cell, shared by 10 other women, and began to write, making her voice be heard. Quote, I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old. With a hanging rope in front of my eyes, I write to tell the tale that I lived, leaving nothing unspoken. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I want them to know what happened to me at the age of 19 that has made me no longer fear death. And so Rahane began her journal, her voice to the world, hoping, praying that someone would take up her cause, hear her voice, and feel her pain. She realized that the long, dark road to the news at dawn was drawing closer, and that now was the time to make her voice known to the world. Rahane worked tirelessly and feverishly day and night writing her prison letters. She had a master plan to secretly smuggle them out of the prison through her family visitations. It was a deadly risk that had to be undertaken. The prison letters were her only sense of real justice, her only hope of having her voice heard in a dark grave of injustice and oppression for women. Rahane would write courageously and hopeful in her prison letters. But on one occasion, in a private letter to her mother, she opened up her soul and was brutally honest about the way that she really felt deep down inside. In the name of God, dear Sholi, I am passing very hard moments. It is a lie when I say that I am hopeful. It is a lie when I say I feel everything will be okay. It's a lie when I say I will survive. I will die. As it is written in the judicial decision, I am sentenced to death by noose. I feel that my whole being is crushed. Everything I do is pretending. My laughs are not real, but pretend. My crying, my happiness, and sadness are all pretending. Now, I myself am a lie too. All the days and hours of my life are marching in front of my eyes. Childhood, adolescence, and youth have been vitiated. Do you remember the first day of school with that tight hijab that I was serious about? Or do you remember courage? Do you remember that I was the apple of the eye for Mrs. Bonazzetti? What a bright future she imagined for me. Now I share this bright future with the noose. My heart burns when I see how you are waiting and expecting. Don't wait and expect anymore. It is useless. I have taken morphine for 3 nights hoping that I could sleep. The pills make me sleep, but my sleeping and dreams are stressful and sick. I feel a pity for you. Why do you love me? I wish you hated me. I wish you did not give birth to me at all. I do not want clothes and food and perfume and so on. I only want freedom, which does not exist. Alas, how much I need your arms. I need you to hug me. How much I need the warm presence of Daddy and the naughtiness of Shari and Shahzad. Oh, how much I miss the light and smell of our house. I wish I could see home one more time and fill the nostrils with its smell. My dear, I really feel lonely, but I cannot tell anybody about my suffering. I like to cry out that I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the cold and the dawn. I'm afraid of cuffs and blindfolds. I am afraid of the scratches on my neck caused by the rope. You are the only one whom I love more than myself. Do you know what? If I did not believe in God, I would know you as my God. Even now, you are my God on the earth. My mother, do not fear. Do you know every action has a reaction? And I will be killed for the one whom I killed. I wish this type of death is the compensation for all of my small and big sins. I am very lonely, but remembering you gives me energy. Your beloved daughter, Rahane. There was an intense battle raging deep inside of the soul of Rahane, she was fighting for her very existence to keep sane in the deadly dungeon of Sha-Rai-Rai prison. She felt cursed and abandoned like a victim of fate whose life had been forever doomed from the very day she was born. It seemed like the fighting courage spirit inside of her was dying. Every day when she opened her eyes, Rahane wished it would be her last day on earth to face an inevitable noose around her neck. Depression and despair had swallowed her alive like a thick, dark cloud hovering over her head. Rahane prayed to die. Life had become a cruel joke, and she desperately wanted it to be over. The other women in her cell were now sound asleep. It had been lights out for 10 minutes now. It was 10:15 p.m., but Rahane was still wide awake. She couldn't sleep. Her mind was filled with tormenting, racing thoughts. She quickly grabbed books she had borrowed from the library. It was by the author Al-Jazeera, entitled Anti-Memories, the story of the formation of Singapore. Rahane hoped it would be meticulous and boring reading, just enough detail to relax her mind and cause her to drift off to sleep. She could feel her body begin to relax, her eyelids becoming heavy. Suddenly, a young girl stood next to her bunk bed. Her bright appearance startled Rahane. At first, she thought it was one of her cellmates sleepwalking. But the face of the young girl was completely unknown to her. Rahane had never seen her before. The book fell out of her hands, and immediately the girl began speaking to her. The young girl began to speak about Jesus as if she personally knew him. She spoke about his love and compassion and explained that he had died on the cross to forgive all of her sins. Rahane was shocked. She sat up, interrupting the young girl. "Don't you know that you can't roam the corridors after lights out?" The young girl smiled warmly at Rahane. "I'm a newcomer. I'm not aware of the rules and regulations, Rahane." A cold chill shot through Rahane's body. "How do you know my name?" The young girl's face glowed once again with a warm and compassionate smile. "I have heard stories about you," she answered. Rahane began to laugh and then covered her mouth, careful not to wake up her cellmates. The young girl looked intently into Rahane's eyes. "You must read books, but not every type of book." Then the young girl gently touched Rahane's hand with hers. Rahane opened up her hand. She carefully placed something shiny in it, and then, like a flash of lightning, disappeared from her cell. Rahane shrieked and fell back on her bunk bed. Her hand was trembling in fear. Slowly she opened it up and gazed down at her sweaty palm. Lying in the center of her palm was a small metal cross. Rahane was astonished. She frantically looked around her cell. The young girl had mysteriously vanished. Rahane trembled with fear. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheek. She nervously stuffed the cross underneath her pillow and collapsed under the sheets. Rahane slowly opened up her eyes and took a deep breath. For the first time in weeks, she felt refreshed, as if a heavy weight had been lifted off of her. She felt alive again. Last night had been the best night's sleep she had experienced in a very long time. Even before she could sit up on her bunk bed, the images of the Christian girl flashed across her mind. Had it been just a dream? Did she really see her? Then Rahane remembered. She pushed her hand underneath the pillow and felt something. Anxious to see what it was, she grabbed it and opened up the palm of her hand. Rahane's eyes grew wide with astonishment. It was the metal cross. It hadn't been a dream. It had been a real experience. Why me? Why this cross? The questions raced through Rahane's mind. I must find this girl, Rahane vied with a determined tone in her voice. Once more, she gazed down at the metal cross in the palm of her hand. Suddenly, she was immersed with feelings of tranquility and peace. The dark clouds of despair seemed to melt away. In that very moment, Rahane felt cleansed. She felt whole again. The feelings of brokenness were gone as she gazed intently at the tiny metal cross in her hand. What does it all mean? Rahane pondered within herself. Why did this Christian girl visit me? The brokenness and despair that had tormented her soul seemed to fade away the more that she gazed at the cross. Rahane felt healed for the first time since her captivity in prison. This morning she had a mission, to find the Christian girl and thank her. After getting dressed, Rahane met up with her cellmates and shared her amazing experience with them. They were shocked by her story and spent all morning asking her questions while they frantically searched for the young Christian girl. Yet at the end of the day, the mysterious visitor was nowhere to be found in the prison. Now Rahane was determined to take the next step. The Christian girl had admonished her to read books, but not every type of book. Calling her mother on the phone, Rahane asked her to bring her a Bible, but Sholi explained that it would be impossible to fulfill her request. It would be too dangerous to smuggle a Bible into prison during visitation. Refusing to give up, Rahane met with an old friend who had been with her in Evan prison. Her old friend Fatima agreed to talk to someone in the library and promised to get her a copy of the Bible. Rahane was once again relaxing in her cell with a beautiful maroon copy of God's Word in her hands. She had a hunger and thirst now to discover what God had revealed in His book. She knew very little about Jesus or Christianity and was now anxious to learn. For 2 weeks of nonstop reading, Rahane devoured every word, every story in the Bible. Her heart had been warmed by the vision of God as told by the biblical writers. Holding the Bible against her chest, she was troubled by the reality that thousands of men and women had been tortured and killed for believing in this precious ancient book. The more Rahane read, the closer her heart felt to the presence of the divine. After reading through the Bible twice, Rahane had a profound feeling of freedom deep down inside of her soul. Even though she was physically a prisoner, spiritually, she had discovered a new beginning, a burning freedom, and a fresh vision of hope after reading the Bible. It's a miracle. I now have hope again, Rahane rejoiced with herself. I now believe in a God who loves us, she proclaimed, a God who loves us and will never leave us. Rahane had experienced an incredible miracle in her heart. She could now forgive. She decided to let go of all of the hatred and bitterness in her heart that had imprisoned her for so long. Rahane could now forgive even her brutal interrogators. The Bible had given her the power and grace to forgive those who had physically and emotionally tortured her. Forgiveness had cleansed Rahane's heart and soul. The black clouds, the chains of despair had been broken by God's word. She felt like a new person, a butterfly that had emerged from its cocoon. In the midst of death and captivity, Rahane had been born again into a living hope that would never fade away. During her 7.5 years of imprisonment, the beautiful fragrance, the beautiful rose of Persia, impacted the lives of many of her cellmates with kindness and mercy. Rahane truly lived up to the meaning of her name. The beautiful fragrance of her character flowed into the broken lives of prostitutes, drug dealers, and political prisoners, restoring hope in their souls and giving them a reason for living. One such prisoner was affectionately called Mommy. Mommy was the oldest woman in Sharay Ray prison at the ripe old age of 64. Mommy's bed was positioned in front of Rahane's bed, and she watched in sorrow as every night Rahane secretly cried herself to sleep. In the 64 years of my life, Mommy proclaimed, I have not seen any creature, any girl, any human being as perfect as Rahane. When God created Rahane, He patiently took His time in forming her. He gave her all of His good attributes to her. Mommy recalls when she met Rahane, she had already been there over 6 years. In prison, there were 8 wards, each with over 150 women crammed together. Everyone respected Rahane, Mommy pointed out. During the time Rouhani and Mommy bonded together as good friends, she taught her knitting. Rouhani was attentive to how Mommy knitted. She would often correct her, but then tenderly explain how to improve her skills. Besides knitting, Rouhani was very busy teaching high school students chemistry and Arabic. The students feared Rouhani and were always very respectful to her. Rouhani had an aura about her, and everyone who came in contact with her were so impressed by how she walked and how she spoke. She carried herself with such poise and dignity. One day while they were conversing, Mommy looked intently into Rouhani's eyes and said with a smile, "Rouhani, when you get out of prison, you must become president of Iran." Rouhani blushed and then immediately burst into laughter. She humbly accepted the compliment with a smile and chuckled back at Mommy. There was one other young prisoner, and because of security purposes, her names must be withheld. She was a beautiful young girl who was in prison because her husband blamed her for a crime he had committed. As a result, her family abandoned her and refused to converse with her on the phone. Rouhani took pity on the young girl. The young girl was 2 months pregnant and suffering from physical and psychological afflictions. One night, she attempted to swallow a bottle of pills and commit suicide, but Rouhani caught her in the act and stopped her. Rouhani held the young girl all night and ministered to her with kindness and mercy. No one in the girl's family supported her, so Rouhani financially provided for her and her newborn child. Before Rouhani was in prison, she was selfishly pursuing her own life and happiness. She had always looked down on the homeless people and considered them dirty and low class. However, when Rouhani became a prisoner, she emerged from her cocoon, becoming a beautiful butterfly. Sholi explained, quote, "My Rehan saw things differently once she was in prison. The prostitutes, the drug dealers, and the homeless became her best friends. She reached out to them in love and compassion, and through her prison letters, she became a voice for the oppressed women of Iran." The long, dark road to execution was agonizing for Rouhani. She struggled to hold on to hope. Every morning when she awakened, she wondered if this would be the day when she took her last breath. Waiting to die was a burden that was suffocating the life out of her. She desperately wanted it to be over and no longer have to watch her mother suffer from the heartache of losing her daughter. During her final year in Sharay Ray prison, Rouhani met a young girl who was also on death row, the same as her, who had become her closest friend until the very end. Sahar Mahabadi had been sentenced to death in May 2010 at Tehran Criminal Court for murdering her husband. A year earlier, Sahar and her husband had gotten into a fight in a public alleyway. Sahar claimed that she had stabbed her husband in self-defense. The judge didn't accept her version of the crime, and much like Rouhani, her claim of self-defense fell on deaf ears. The court fined her guilty of murder and sentenced her to execution by hanging. Sahar and Rouhani spent many nights sharing stories about their individual cases. They became intimate friends, taking care of each other during difficult days and nights of dark depression. When Rouhani was being tormented by nightmares and when awakened covered in sweat, Sahar was there by her side to comfort her. During one of their intimate conversations, Rouhani shared her dream of helping out prisoners who were pardoned. She dreamed of buying a piece of land near the prison and building a shelter for pardoned prisoners who had no money and no one to take care of them. Rouhani witnessed the hurt and brokenness of many political prisoners. She saw what living under the iron fist of the oppressive Iranian regime had done to so many women. One such woman that she had befriended and listened to her desperate plight was Mina. At first, she hated and looked down on her because of her dirty life as a prostitute. But one day, she sat and listened to Mina's dark and desperate life story and experienced a dramatic change of heart. It was listening to Mina that inspired Rouhani to become a voice for the oppressed women through her prison letters. Soon after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, Mina's father left her family to find better employment, but he never returned. This forced her mother to steal food in order to provide for her family. Their deplorable financial situation soon made it impossible for Mina to attend school, so she was forced to drop out. Desperate for money, Mina's mother became a prostitute, and soon her older sister also adopted her lifestyle. Following in her family's footsteps, Mina took to the streets and became a woman of the night. Mina bitterly confessed to Rahani that men treated her like garbage, like a possession, and soon she felt utterly worthless. She spent all day selling her body in order for her brothers to have a good and easy life. I'm going to end right there in chapter 10, and we will pick it up on our next broadcast. It will be a very, very short ending, and we will be beginning chapter 11. I just want to point out to you that this has been one of the most incredible chapters that I have written, to share that experience that Rahane had of meeting an angel in prison that shared the truth of God's word with her. I hope that you're enjoying my reading. Very soon, we will conclude this book. I want you to have an incredible weekend, and God bless you. We will see you on the next Cross in the Desert.
Like a flower.